Keeping the faith in the family. Keeping the family in the faith. The scripture is perfect and applicable. The more that we study, the more biblical. Our lives can become, it can even be fun, so long as the truth is our prize. O Lord above all, make us holy and wise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Family Radio Show. I'm Ryan, and I'm, as always, with my lovely wife, Elaine. Elaine, how are you today?
I am really tired.
So last week, I think I was the one that was really tired. This week, you're the one that's really tired. We're just really tired people.
Well, four kids will do that to you.
Yeah. And a crazy work schedule. By the way, if you're looking for a job, answersingenesis.org/jobs.
Right. Not only that, we've been doing more outreaches lately, you know? So, yeah. I mean, that's been another thing we're adding to our schedule that's making us tired, but it's been great. We got to know Leah, a missionary friend of ours that just got back from China a little bit.
And Yeah, she's awesome out there sharing the gospel. She brings her siblings with her. We really enjoy going out and ministering with her and with others. If you ever want to join us for an outreach, let us know. Go to faithfamilyradio.com, shoot us an email.
Right. You know, just this past week, we were with her at the abortion clinic, and that was kind of new for me. I haven't really had any significant time out there with you before, so that was a new thing.
I'd say that was probably the most mild experience I've ever had an abortion clinic.
Well, praise the Lord for that. I don't know that I'm ready to have someone come and spit in my face or, you know, anything dramatic like that.
Yeah, no, there was no cops called on us, nobody yelling and screaming at me in my face, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord, I think we saw a turn away from the abortion clinic. There was a car that was pulling into the drive with a middle-aged couple in the front, and it appeared to be a teenage girl in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we pleaded with them as they drove by and parked in the back, pleaded with them to not go through with going into the Planned Parenthood. And just a moment later, we saw the car leaving and heading away. So praise God for that.
Yeah. And you don't always get to see little victories like that. But when you do, it does encourage you, I bet, to keep doing what you're doing. And the honking, when it's the right kind of honking, the encouraging kind of honk of, hey, we support what you're doing out here. That's nice.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to figure out what type of honk is a good honk and what type is a bad honk.
Oh, I think I'm tired too, just from like our new diet.
Oh, I hate the diet.
I have trouble focusing sometimes with not eating because I'm thinking about food. People are talking and I'm like, what am I going to eat in 2 hours when I'm able to eat again?
Yeah, the diet thing, it's not going well for me. Like I said in a previous episode, the first three letters spell die, so it's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am dying. I mean, dieting.
In order to feel that way, honey, you would have to, like, eat healthy. I don't know that you've
made
that leap.
Yes, I cheat regularly on the diet. I'm a wretched sinner. What can I say?
The working out thing's been going great for me, though. Like, initially, I was, you know, ready to die after a workout. Now, I'm like, I'm sweaty, but I can...
You can keep going.
I can keep going. I'm not like, okay, here comes the panic attack.
I remember that. It was like day two, and, you know, you come into the bedroom to wake me up. You're like, I'm having a panic attack. I need you to calm me down. I'm like, what?
You were like super tired, too.
Yeah.
And you're like, what, did I just go to bed 5 minutes ago? Well, you didn't say it quite like that, but it sounded like that in my head. And I'm like, meh, how dare you?
But yeah, I think I asked you, I said, how long have I been asleep? And you're like, an hour? I'm like,
So yeah, that's what our lives are right now. Taking care of kids, trying to get healthy, and sharing the gospel.
And I am starting to get towards the start of the exercise. I'm working on exercising.
I saw that chin up. That was an awesome chin up.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought one of these pull up bars that you put on the door, and bought a jump rope, and we just bought a couple of treadmills, used treadmills. So hopefully we will be getting slim and
hopefully we'll have some delightful before and after shots to show people.
Yeah.
So look forward to seeing that, folks. Yeah, like they're really interested. We know you're not, but we're going to put them out anyway.
Yeah. So what is the topic for today? Because I'm sure people don't really care about our diet and exercise plan.
I'm offended that you said that. I'm offended that you listeners are thinking that. Anywho, moving on.
Microaggression.
Well, don't you know I grew up in a society where you can't say anything to offend me? It's a big deal. You might hurt my feelings, and then I'll be traumatized.
Yeah, you've been married to me 10 years. You know I don't care. I am not a tactful guy. No. I will say what is on my mind.
Yeah. And you know that I do, too, behind closed doors.
And sometimes while we're recording, if you've heard the bloopers.
Yeah. It's amazing that I've come back for another show after that one.
The children of Lima, Peru face many difficulties. Hunger, neglect, abuse, and most importantly, a lack of the gospel. Heart of Christ Ministry seeks to bring the gospel and to fulfill the other needs of the children. Please consider partnering with us. You can sponsor a child for just $25 a month, and there are many other ways to help. Please visit hofcm.org.
You're listening to the Faith and Family Radio Show with my mommy and daddy, Elaine and Ryan Uniak.
Today, we are going to just talk a little bit about our ministry. I know we've been directing people to the Uniak family website for years now. And, well, me for JC is how it started.
Right.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are like, what is this all about? What is their ministry? And I'm, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we do so many different ministries that I'm sure it leaves people kind of puzzled. So we're going to hammer it down today, talk a little bit about how we got started in our ministry, what our ministry is all about, all that good kind of stuff.
If you ever curious about what exactly the Uniak family missionaries to America are doing, this is the episode to listen to.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit just a basic outline of our ministry is we are a family that ministers in the tri-state area. We started out ministering in Cleveland, and we were relocated because of Ryan's job.
Mm-hmm. And now, which that was all the work of God right there. Mm-hmm.
And now we our two main goals is to share the gospel and to encourage and equip other Christians to get out and share the gospel.
Amen.
So we have had this desire a long time. Why don't you, Ryan, talk a little bit about how this whole idea got started? Maybe even start with your conversion, because I kind of think that that maybe have been was a step in the right direction towards where Uniak family is today.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, when I was first converted, I thought I was saved, but I was really a false convert. And when I came out of the place where I was converted, there was no gospel message or anything that was shared, no walking the aisle, no praying a prayer, no raising a hand, no signing a decision card, none of that. I was simply sitting inside of a heretical church, and something they said during the message was so heretical that it even caught my attention sitting there being someone who didn't know anything about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't know much anyway. Mm-hmm. But it made me look to my wife and I said, I don't think that's right.
Right.
You know, that's not in the Bible.
But don't you just love how prideful we were critiquing all these heretics like we were some biblical scholars? They're not preaching the Bible. Yeah, you're not living the Bible.
Right. And that's what the Lord used to open my eyes to the truth. Mm-hmm. That while that may have been a bunch of hypocrites sitting in that church, I was the biggest one. Mm-hmm. And I was heading for hell. Mm-hmm. He opened my eyes that day and showed me that I needed to get right with him. Mm-hmm. And ever since that moment of conversion, where God gave me a new heart, mm-hmm. He gave me new desires. Because I all of a sudden was on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to tell everybody about it. As Elaine can testify, it was like I was a totally new person.
You were. I mean, this wasn't an instance of where you made a profession of faith and then a week later you went right back into the world. It was, I mean, not that you were perfect overnight, but there was obviously a change. There was a new desire wrought in you to where you began to hate the things you once loved and that you began to love the things of God and hold tightly to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a shocking transformation.
Well, one of the things that was so shocking is I wanted to tell other people how to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to be saved as well. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know how to do that or what to do. I kind of just picked up pieces here and there from different things.
And there was no sort of ministry or churches that we attended for a long time that would encourage it even.
Right. In fact, I was told at least once, probably numerous times, to calm down with the evangelism.
I think the term zealot might have been used.
Yeah. It was just weird. Like, yeah, I was sitting around all these professing Christians and was excited about the gospel and what God did for us. And they're like, yeah, calm down. We don't care about that right now. Let's talk about something.
I think that's because so many churches, their focus isn't evangelism. It's get them to the church, then they'll hear the gospel.
Right. That's...
Become their friend, then give them the gospel. It's always like something before the gospel, and you never get around to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get around to the gospel, it's such an unbiblical gospel presentation that there are scads of false converts out there.
Yeah, and that's very unfortunate here in America that we have so many churches. I mean, we have more churches than we have Walgreens on the corners. But the problem is, those churches aren't doing what churches are supposed to be doing here in America.
But you did find one church that was.
Yes, I did. And, you know, we were at a Christian bookstore, and I happened to look over at a bulletin board that was advertising a conference, an evangelism boot camp, and it caught my attention, and mainly because it had something about Way of the Master on there. And I had seen The Way of the Master on TV briefly and was like, that's what I need to be doing. That's the type of evangelism I should do. Well, when I saw that logo or whatever on the flyer, I said, I have to go to this boot camp.
Didn't you, in fact, try and promote it at our church?
Yes, I did promote the boot camp at our church, and that was about as exciting to them as watching paint dry. So I was the only one from our church that attended.
And that's including me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And so I went to that boot camp and got to meet a lot of wonderful people and learn how to share the gospel biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. It was like 2 or 3 days, and I was on fire. I mean, I was on fire when I first got saved. That fire was dwindling because of the constant
discouragement
mm-hmm. of people. But I was set ablaze anew
mm-hmm.
after this boot camp, and it wasn't dying down.
Even though it wasn't well received when you came back to our church.
Yeah, they did not like the new Ryan.
No. And
even you were like, who is this guy?
Whoa, settle down, hombre. I just wanted to throw in hombre. I thought that was cool. No.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com.
You're listening to the Faith and Family Radio Show.
So you come back, you're on fire. We are at that time feeling called to leave the church we're in. I wonder why.
Yeah. it was also a heretical church.
Yes.
Although we didn't realize it at the time.
Not when we first were attending, no. So we are looking for another church, and it was actually I who said, let's go to that church that you went to the boot camp at.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that because I knew that if I didn't push for us to go there, that it would just be because of my fear of evangelism. And I could not live with that. Like, I was like, as a Christian, that should not be my reason not to attend a church.
Right.
So we went, and as we attended that church for a couple of years, there were Way of the Master training courses that we participated in, and we really learned a lot about sharing our faith, about finding answers in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful time of growing for us in the area of evangelism.
Yes, they taught evangelism stuff, apologetic stuff. It was great.
We memorized scripture that had to do with evangelism. There was a lot of equipping that took place for us, which I think, you know, that's a God thing right there, because you're finally, you've gone to this event. And so it's like, what do you do with that information? Well, you build on it. So we were able to build on that. And yeah, I think it was around that point that our ministry kind of manifested itself.
Mm-hmm. We had felt the call back at our previous church to start a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't really know exactly what we were going to be starting.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of built after we had left that church and went into this new church. And eventually, before we moved to Cincinnati, I was doing a weekly mm-hmm. outreach in downtown Cleveland, Public Square. Every Saturday, I was down there sharing the gospel, open air, proclaiming.
But it didn't start there with our ministry.
No.
When we first...
Do you want me to talk about the thing where they didn't want me there?
Kind of. I want to go there. I want us to lay down our roots here.
Oh, okay.
So we were in this church. Ryan goes to the boot camp. Ryan starts preaching the gospel. And I start being more supportive, joining him. And we actually came up with let me backtrack just a second. We were there sharing the gospel. Little Ryan would and I would sing hymns. That's kind of mm-hmm. how it started. But then we got into the Way of the Master. We went there with justice surveys, which mm-hmm. led to the gospel. And that didn't go over so well. I mean, not with the people we were sharing the gospel with, but with the people that we were ministering, and I'm using finger quotes, yeah. with.
Yeah, so we were ministering with a homeless ministry, and I use that term loosely. But at first...
Humanitarian efforts.
Right. Yeah. At first, it was great because they let me share the gospel, and the Lord not only rose me up to share the gospel there, but rose up two other men yes. to share the gospel biblically in this ministry. And all three of us we were the evangelists of the ministry, mm-hmm. sharing the gospel with whoever would listen. And eventually, sadly, they started to hinder the message of the gospel. And they tried to have us focus on just doing messages on God's love. Mm-hmm. And
while God is loving, and it is very important to use to talk about that in your preaching, it is not the complete gospel. It is not the full message of why Jesus came to die. It doesn't make, as Ray Comfort says, it doesn't make sense without the knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they wanted to remove, was the knowledge of sin.
Right. And I think there was a point where they said, okay, well, only read scripture in your open air proclaiming show.
They don't know you very well, that you find loopholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually went through and found scripture to do a Way of the Master good person test type scripture reading, and mm-hmm. I put it all together on a bookmark, and I would just read that bookmark, all of scripture, sharing the law and the gospel with people. And it was eventually they went to the pastor of the church that we were attending at the time and said, look, he's got to go. we don't want him out there with us anymore. So we parted ways. And unfortunately, when that happened, the other two evangelists left that ministry as well, because they saw the problem that was taking place, that they were trying to remove the gospel.
Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop you, and one of the other fellows did go back to that homeless shelter on your own to share the gospel.
Yes. We had started going there once a month to specifically to make sure we got to share the gospel with them. I mean, we would also bring food and we would bring clothes and stuff, mm-hmm. which was great. But we made sure to take the time to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
So that's kind of really the start of Me for JC Muniac Family's beginnings. And since then, we've done a lot of different evangelism outreaches and a mm-hmm. lot of different speaking engagements. What are some of the outreaches that we've done, honey, over the past, 5 years or so?
Oh, boy. Well, it's had to have been longer than that now.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So we've done prayer stands, which are really awesome ministry tools. Go to prayerstand.com, I believe.
Those are great at getting people to kind of stop and get into one-to-ones with mm-hmm. without so much intimidation for approaching people. Like if you're scared to approach people to get into a one-to-one, that kind of is a little bit of a buffer in my opinion, because you kind of have a reason, like, hey, we're offering prayer over here, can we pray for you? Or sometimes people will see it and come up and ask, and there's your doorway.
Right. And it's a great tool for those who are just getting started in evangelism, because it takes that fear away. You know, people mm-hmm. come to you. You don't have to go to them.
And the man who came up with the prayer stand is a faithful evangelist himself. So that's kind of nice to know that if you buy one of those, you're supporting a fellow evangelist.
Yes. Support him, support his family. Tom Kaiser is his name. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord. He actually lives here in the Cincinnati area now.
That's right. So
we've done prayer stands, we've done carnival and fair outreaches, which are
flea market outreaches.
Flea markets, yeah.
We've gone to
the flea market outreach typically is more one-to-ones and gospel tracts. We have a bunch of materials that we put out, you know, for free, and people come up and we give them the free stuff and we talk to them about the gospel. Carnival outreaches are great. You can open air preach or open air proclaim there and share materials and stuff like that, one-to-ones. Mm-hmm. Surveys are a great way to share the gospel. We actually have one at muniacfamily.com that you can download for free.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
Keeping the faith in the family.
We don't just plan outreaches, though. We share the gospel in our day-to-day life, too,
mm-hmm.
don't we? Like, when we go to a hockey game, how often do I see you, like, handing out tracts before the game or, you know, during, like, when we're ordering food, we're giving tracts, you know, leaving them in the bathroom, all different kinds of stuff. Or when we go to a restaurant, we went to IHOP once and you just went right into a conversation with this lady that led to the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the waitress and she sat there with us for a while, right?
Yeah, we got into a long conversation with her. And God was so kind that I don't think she really had any other people she had to wait on too. So we weren't being a burden while we were trying to share the gospel with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just outreaches. We do it in our day-to-day life. We try and involve our kids in it. We've done, like we said earlier, abortion outreaches. We'd love to do more of that. We feel like that's really, in addition to just there not being enough people out evangelizing at abortion clinics is really scarce.
Yes, it is. And I feel guilty for not being out there more often because I just don't have the time. I mean, I'm so busy with work and with raising 4 kids and trying to help Elaine around the house with different things.
So, Ryan, how many souls do you think we've saved?
Zero.
Does that mean that we're not fruit bearers out there?
Nope. That is not what that means. We do not save souls. It is up to God to save the soul. God commands us to go into the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, share the gospel with people. He does not command us to make them converted.
Okay, so
he does that.
How many has God saved through our ministry?
I have no idea. We don't keep count, and we do that for a very specific reason. We don't want to get prideful. We don't want to be worried about numbers to show to people.
We're not trying to get decisions for Christ. We are trying to proclaim the gospel so that when we're done with our outreach, people will go home and think about where they're going to spend eternity and that and pray that the Lord would convict them of that and that they would be regenerated. We don't need to see them converted right there on the spot.
Right.
And, part of me would question if they're genuinely converted at that moment or if they're just doing it to appease us, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's definitely not our focus. Our focus is getting the gospel out there, preaching God's word truthfully.
Yeah. And I will say that if someone, you know, seems to be converted while we're there talking with them, you know, we'll pray for them. We will not pray them into heaven or anything like that. We will not profess that they are saved or anything. That's between them and God. You know, we don't want to make false converts like we were. And, you know, we will encourage them to read a Bible. We'll give them a Bible if they don't have one.
Yes.
And we will also direct them to local churches in the area that we know are solid so that they can continue learning more about the Lord.
So for people who are curious about numbers with evangelism ministry, how many people would you say we've shared the gospel with? If you're going to give a number, that'd probably be the least offensive and prideful.
Again, I have no idea what the number is. I know it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're counting handing out tracts, just in general, along with open airs to large groups.
Yeah. I mean, we've got those. We've got one-on-one conversations. The Witness radio show. I mean, how many people have I interviewed on there to share the gospel with? We have on Facebook, we share the gospel with people. In our day-to-day lives, we're sharing the gospel. It's we couldn't keep count with all the people we've shared with.
Right. And we're not just out sharing the gospel. We're out to encourage others to share the gospel.
Yeah. We want to glorify God in what we're doing. You know,
exactly.
That's why we don't care about the numbers. We just want to be faithful to him and to hopefully see as many people in heaven as possible.
And to encourage others. I mean, because the more laborers there are, the more people are hearing the gospel. And we've gone several places to encourage and teach, mostly churches in Ohio, because that's where we're living.
Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of times where I've been at Answers in Genesis for different conferences to help equip people there. Pastors conference, children's conference, their staff meeting I've shared at.
And you've also been to homeschool conferences and set up tables there. And you actually met Anthony Silvestro there, didn't you?
Yes, Dr. Anthony Silvestro, a wonderful brother in the Lord who has his very own ministry called Creation Revival. He is, so smart.
And his wife
blows me away.
They both love the Lord so much. They just exude a love for Christ in their day-to-day conversation with those they're around. It's beautiful.
Yes, but definitely look up Anthony Silvestro. He can teach you about presuppositional apologetics probably better than anybody I know.
Right. Well, and we also, just this past year, you had a table set up at a Getty concert, and we were able to encourage a woman there who had heard a little bit of some of the ministries that we like, and we were able to engage her in a conversation, and she was just wanting to get started in evangelism, so we really kind of were able to guide and direct her. And
gave her some free resources to help her.
And pray with her, and that was really awesome. One of my favorite things that we've done to equip others is the Martireo Academy that we did.
Yeah, and I've actually had people ask me, are you doing it again this year? No. Why not? I'm like, because I don't want it to just be this cookie cutter yearly conference that people go to. I did, you know, when we did it, I really felt compelled by the Lord to put on a conference in the Cincinnati area. And I didn't feel that this year, so we didn't do it.
To be fair for those that are pushing for it, it's also a chance for us to see brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And it's good teaching. I mean, it was really good teaching.
Yeah. I wish we could have recorded all of the teaching so that we could play it back and listen to it and maybe even share it with you guys. But I just want to hear it.
So, honey, what's been your favorite witness encounter or your most memorable witnessing encounter?
Oh, boy.
Or maybe even one or two. Like, if you want to give a couple, that'd be.
Okay. Well, there's definitely been some crazy encounters that stick out. I always hear about the cannibal that I came across on the college campus. He was, I don't think he was really a cannibal, but he was trying to say that cannibalism was okay as long as you don't hurt anybody. And that made me scratch my head because doesn't eating someone hurt them? You know, you probably heard the commercial for Witness Radio over and over with that same statement. And that was just a really weird conversation. But yeah, so the interview with the cannibal was definitely memorable. And not this past year, most recently, but the year before in New York City, when I did a Q&A in the open air, that was awesome. Just getting, you know, all these different people coming up with all their different questions and answering, you know, their questions as they came up to the best of my ability. I really enjoyed that. And I wish I could do that more often because I love the improvisation interaction.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful.
And then, of course, the turn away at the abortion clinic this past weekend was great. That'll always stick in my mind.
So no rides in police cars yet?
No, not yet. Gotten close a couple of times.
But no one flinging feces at you yet? None of that. What's the worst thing you think has anyone like tried to assault you or anything that you can think of over the years?
Yeah, there was time at the abortion clinic where there was a guy up in my face, and I honestly thought I was going to get hurt, very hurt that day. Mm-hmm. But praise the Lord, he protected me and kept me from getting hurt at all. The guy walked away, so praise God for that.
I remember that. That was a very intense situation from what you described to me when you came home. You were like, that dude was big.
Yeah, he was right up in my face. He was yelling, screaming, swearing at me. I mean, I would say he was about as close to me as my microphone is, which is pretty close. And that's never a good situation.
Did you put your arms around him, start to dance? Yeah, that probably wouldn't have gone over so well.
No, I wanted to live.
Your hedge of protection probably would have come down at that point.
There are things that cause the heart to wonder. Awe-inspiring things that can't be explained. That you never thought you would see. After more than 4,000 years, it's your moment to encounter the Ark. The voyage begins again, July 7th.
You're listening to the Faith and Family Radio Show.
So we've talked a little bit about what's gone on in our past. Now let's talk about what the future holds for our family and our ministry. What, honey, are some of our goals for our ministry?
Well, one of our main goals, aside from to glorify the Lord and to edify and equip the saints, one of our main goals is to be able to do this full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so little that we do because of our schedules, you know,
right. And
so much more that we could do if we were, you know, full-time supported missionaries.
Right. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, about all the different things that we can do once the Lord provides and opens the door for us to go full-time. Do we have a certain group that we're reaching out to in particular here where we're living in Cincinnati?
Well, one of the major ministry grounds where I'm at is the University of Cincinnati, where I'm trying to reach the students there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then for those that have a relationship with the Lord, I am trying to disciple them and train them up in biblical evangelism and apologetics. Mm-hmm. You know, the college campus is a breeding ground for atheism and for secularism and for anything that is against Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they need training. They need the help to be able to defend their faith, and they need to know how to share their faith, because as far as I've seen, all the other campus ministries out there, with the exception of maybe one, teaches you bring them, you invite them to Bible study, or you invite them to our thing and we'll share with them, but then they don't share with them. Mm-hmm. They just have pizza parties and fun and all that mm-hmm. stuff.
So we have kind of two focuses then at this. Well, I would say even three. The UC campus, mm-hmm. abortion ministry.
Yeah, I would love to do that daily.
But the main thing is just reaching the tri-state area as much as we can. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, let's get 500 souls saved. No, we want all of the tri-state area to come to know Christ, to come to know the gospel and to be converted.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't just want to saturate the area with the gospel. We want to flood it with the gospel. Mm-hmm. We want Ken Ham to bring his ark up to the Cincinnati area because there's just so much gospel that people are drowning in it.
And not just to share the gospel. We want, like you were talking about with the campus, we want to disciple those that are saved, but like how you were years ago, don't know how to share their faith, don't mm-hmm. know, have no one around to encourage them, to equip them. We mm-hmm. want to do that for others. We want to pay it forward, so to speak. And, you know, we want to encourage them to be bold witnesses for Christ, not just to develop friendship evangelism or to invite them to church, but to really obey the Great Commission and share the gospel themselves.
Yes, absolutely. So another area where we do ministry is the radio shows, Faith and Family Radio Show and Witness Radio. If we were full time, we could not only produce those better and faster and maybe even put out more of them, we could even do more shows or more products. Like, we've got some ideas that are in our heads that we can't share because, well, we just don't have the time to make the products. Mm. If we had the time to make the products, we might share them with you. But
kind of, you know, some things along the lines of teachings, like how I did The Evangelist Wife. We would love to do that. We would love to do some writing of, you know, gospel tracts and books, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you need time to do that. And it's kind of hard to do that when, you know, Ryan's got his full-time job and then some.
Yes.
So, you know, if the Lord would open the door for us to move into full-time ministry, that would free up time for that. That would free up time for him to really be a presence on the campus.
Yeah, right now, this week coming up is Welcome Weekend. It's the most important week for campus ministries and campus organizations because this is where you get all the students for the year. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be there every day. I can't. Mm-hmm. I just can't. I'm working 12-hour shifts this week. We've got appointments this week. And mm-hmm. praise the Lord, I have an assistant to help me, Eric. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's got a full-time job too. So we probably won't have any presence there for at least a few of the days. And mm-hmm. when we do have a presence, we're only there for maybe a couple hours, whereas the other campus ministries are there all day long talking to the students.
And, you know, it's really sad because, like you said, it's such a humanistic generation that's on the college campuses, and mm-hmm. they're so gospel ignorant. Even the false converts, they just don't know what the gospel is. So being in full-time ministry would open the door for that. It would open the door for more opportunities to teach others how to share their faith through, like, one-day courses, conferences, whether here or elsewhere.
Mm, yeah, I would love to do at least, like, a monthly crash course mm-hmm. On biblical evangelism here in the tri-state area, maybe at a local library or something, offering it for free, mind you. Mm-hmm. but so that anyone who wants to learn more about how to share their faith biblically, they could come in and learn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Full-time ministry would just open the door for hitting the streets with the gospel, going to the abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm. John Barros is a wonderful brother that I know from Facebook. He's out at his abortion clinic down in Florida every day. I think 7 days a week for him.
Ours isn't open that often.
But
he is so faithful. And I love seeing the stories, the encouraging stories of women who turn around and they don't murder their babies. And even the ones that come back and show John their babies. That's just so endearing.
That religion is just absolutely uncalled for. We are just mere things floating on a rock in space.
Believing in God makes no sense. It's to me, it's the dumbest thing.
We are not only figuratively, but literally stardust.
Are you an atheist?
I am.
So you're an atheist?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I need to know what to believe in.
Like what happens when you die?
Yes, I don't want to be a bag of dust.
Did you know that 54 million people die every year? People just like you and me who love life. If you were shown evidence, you would change your mind because you're open.
Absolutely.
I think I am open to evidence. It just would have to be extraordinarily compelling, like out of this world compelling.
Has this made you think today?
It definitely has.
I'll definitely consider this eye-opening.
Wow.
I hope I get enough guts to get myself out of this stinking planet.
You gonna kill yourself?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Can you see what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm lying to myself.
Download at atheistmovie.com today. There may be some people out there asking, Ryan, why do we need to be out there more? Isn't once a week or a couple times a week enough? Aren't we being lazy because you don't want to work? Like, they may be thinking things like that. What would your response be to that?
Well, you know, they've got a point. You know, the Bible does say if a man shouldn't work, neither shall he eat. But I'm not just sitting back. I wouldn't be sitting back on the couch doing nothing. I would be working. I would be doing the Lord's work out there day in, day out, just like missionaries in third world countries. What do you think they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're being supported to go out and proclaim the gospel and do things. And that's what I want to do just here in America.
Yeah. Do you think the need for American missionaries is a great one?
Have you seen the news? Have you seen our nation? Have you seen the presidential candidates that are out there? I mean, you see what is happening here in America. You see how horrible things are getting here in America. It's still one of the greatest nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you see how bad things are getting just looking at the news every night.
Mm-hmm.
We need, and I'm not saying this just for me or just for the Muniac family, we need American missionaries.
Exactly. You know, there's people who are losing their jobs and even being prosecuted for refusing to compromise on biblical views like same-sex marriage. The, you know, bake the cake or we're going to sue you. Give us the marriage license or you'll lose your job. You know, there's all of that coming in. There's free speech zones.
Mm-hmm.
You can only proclaim your message in these free speech zones. You have to have a permit to proclaim the gospel here.
In New York City, you can't even talk about the LGBT community in a negative light, or you can be arrested. You can go to jail and be fined up to $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Scientists and professors, they can lose their job for questioning evolution. They don't even necessarily have to come out and say, I'm a Christian. They can, if they're just a creation scientist, it's, oh, that person is unreliable in the scientific community. We're seeing an increase in secular humanism, especially among what is known as millennials, those born in the 90s and early 2000s. So, and then we're seeing also, in addition to that, the abandonment of God's commands. People are, sexual immorality is not just...
It's running rampant.
Exactly. It's not behind closed doors anymore. It's out there. Our kids see it on the television, on the computer,
right.
On billboards.
We have a Roku so that we don't have to watch a lot of the filth on regular television. And just the commercials are beginning to be filth
filled.
Yeah, there's no sort of, oh, this is children's programming, let's put in some more family-friendly commercials. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And it's sad.
You know, look at the stuff that you're being fed from the television. It's a lot, most of it is rotten. Mm-hmm. And we compromise and compromise and compromise. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we got to stop. Mm-hmm. We got to draw the line. We got to do something about this. Mm-hmm. We have to share the gospel.
God's being removed from everywhere. Public areas aren't allowed to have the manger scene anymore. The Ten Commandments are wanting to be removed from everywhere. Prayer is not allowed in school. The kids aren't even allowed to bring their Bibles to read at private reading time without trouble. You're not allowed to share your faith in the workplace. It becomes a problem. You know all about that.
And there's an increase in false teachings. Mm-hmm. So there's a decrease in the biblical gospel, a decrease in biblical Christianity, but there is a surge of false teachings, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, whether it's Mormons, whether it's Buddhism or New Age cults or atheism. It's all surging because there are not biblical Christians out there sharing the gospel.
The laborers are few, and then you have to compete with all them false teachings. But that's all the more reason to go out there and proclaim the gospel, is because we need to correct doctrine. We need to say, no, that's not what scripture says. And we need to tell people how to flee from the wrath of God. And the time is short. I know that we like to think we have an eternity and that Jesus really isn't returning, but he is.
Mm-hmm.
And people need the gospel. People need to know, you know, as Ken Ham would talk about the ark and the door, they need to know that Jesus is the door. He's the way in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We do not have an abundant amount of time. Jesus is returning. We need to be ready. We need to make others ready.
And if you can't go out there yourself, can you help others go out there? And that's the big question is, are you willing to help get the gospel out there by any means necessary, whether it's you going out there yourself or by supporting missionaries going out there, whether it's a missionary in a third world country or a missionary here in America. Mm-hmm. We, as a family and a ministry, we do not ask for donations. Mm-hmm. You know, we follow the George Mueller and Heart Cry Society mindset on that. Mm-hmm. But we will say that if you feel led to support our ministry, go to muniacfamily.com and you'll find the link there. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith and Family Radio Show. We hope it was edifying to you and that it would encourage you. Till next time, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Elaine.
God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Faith and Family Radio Show. Please share our program with others and leave feedback on social media. Do you have a subject that you'd like us to talk about on a future episode? Let us know at faithfamilyradio.com or by calling 513-900-8070. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.
Bloopers!
You sounded like you were going off, and then I saw that you're up here, so I was like, never mind. Never mind.
Oh, so you're not mad at me. I was actually doing what I was supposed to do.
Not mad. Frustrated. You're not following my outline. But you were. So we're good.